Okay, case number 323-546, Manchester.
Last one outside.
Oh, maybe outside.
You got Nancy?
I got it.
You appellant?
Yeah, we're getting it.
Good morning.
Mark, sir.
Okay, issuing authority, please identify yourself, who you represent, and identify your witness, please.
I am Captain Laughlin with the Manchester Police Department.
And your witness?
Sergeant Doran with the Manchester Police Department. Officer Wells with the Vernon Police Department, and Officer Grenier with the Manchester Police Department.
Can you spell your last name for me?
Yes, ma'am. LAUGHLIN.
Thank you.
You may proceed with an opening, brief opening statement.
Brief.
Give me one second.
Oh, yes, sir.
Chairman, through you, I have offered to recuse myself from this case. I'm familiar with the appellant. We grew up in the same town. And I would offer you guys the same.
Okay, sure.
So if either of them feel.
Okay, so you can sit quietly and watch the proceeding.
Well, no, he's asking him.
He's asking if there's an objection to him saying.
I don't have an objection.
And the appellant?
I have no objection.
Okay. All right, so you may proceed with the brief opening statement.
The appellant applied for a pistol permit in November of 2022. I had denied the permit in January of 2023 due to a court order in place restricting the possession of a firearm by the appellant. The appellant appealed the denial, and we are still upholding that denial based on, amongst other things, suitability of the candidate, of the appellant.
Would you like to make a brief opening statement?
For the officer to say they denied me, I'd like to know if the officer did his job as due diligence, look my background up to see if I was actually had any criminal charges, because I don't have any criminal charges or a record, and they denied me on a that's what I'm looking for here. I'm a federal prohibited background when I was a felon before I got my pardon dismissed. And I don't know if the officer did his job, look it up, but I've been and now waiting 3 years for this appeal. And I'm just, my constitutional rights have been violated, and I'm here just to get some answers. So,
thank you. Yeah. You may proceed with your case.
So the appellant was denied on a court order in January of 2023. After his appeal of the order, or subsequent to that, he's had several involvements with not only our police department, but also the Vernon Police Department, and they're here to speak to that, to a total of 40 involvements with the Manchester Police Department. In terms of the suitability that we're using to support our denial, is that we do not believe that the appellant has the temperament or the character to protect the safety of the public based on the numerous violent incidences that he has been involved in and cited as the suspect, including his most recent arrest in July for threatening to kill an individual at a softball game in a crowded softball game. Officer Wells from the Vernon Police Department is here to speak to that arrest, but we have three incidences since April of the appellant getting into violent altercations with individuals allegedly assaulting them, and then they decide not to pursue charges against the appellant based on their belief that he is a member of the Hells Angels motorcycle club, and they fear retribution for testifying or bringing charges against the appellant. The appellant also owns an establishment in Manchester, which there are reports of Hell's Angels activity at the establishment. Officers, there are social media posts also supporting that that involvement, which Officer Wells can speak to further.
I really like Officer be knowing about perjury again, because I don't have anything violent. I don't have anything violent on my record. I've never done anything violent you can hold me accountable to. The paperwork they have there is all incidents. I wasn't there. He can say people don't want to press charges, but you know, you're saying I threatened. I don't have a threatening charge. You know,
this is when you can cross-examine him. You'll have plenty of time to give us your case. Right. But do you have any questions of him at this time?
Yeah. So you have incident reports. Well, if your incident reports are so heavy, why didn't I get arrested for threatening and or any of those 40 times with the police? I mean, I have encounters, but I mean, you guys love to arrest me anytime you can. So why didn't you? If you, you know, because I didn't do anything, right?
I certainly, I've never met the appellant. I certainly don't love to arrest anyone. I'm reporting on that the witnesses or the victims in the cases report that they are too scared to press charges against the appellant because of his their belief or their belief that he's connected to the Hell's Angels.
Is it illegal to be in a motorcycle club?
I'm not.
I'm asking.
No, I understand that. I'm not here to debate with the legality of a motorcycle.
Well, how can you get here and judge my character? If you don't know me, you don't have anything against me saying anything that you're saying here is has anything at all. So how can you sit here and disregard my character?
Do you have any witnesses here that can corroborate some of that?
Sir, yes, I do. Officer Grenier investigated one of the assaults in June of 2024, and Officer Wells investigated and made an arrest in the threatening or the breach of peace of July of 2024. So both are here prepared to testify if whichever order you'd like them in. June, July.
Okay. So when he calls those witnesses, you can cross-examine them as well.
That's fine.
Okay. To the appellant's point, I don't know him. I'm not. I'm trying to assess based on the suitability as I've been as I'm required to do to evaluate the essential character or temperament necessary to be entrusted with a weapon. And based on the incident reports, I don't believe that the appellant fits that criteria. But I would call Officer Grenier to testify on his involvement with the appellant.
I've got one more question for him.
Oh, go ahead.
Another question.
Can you just admit that you failed to do your job in the beginning when it came to properly look me up the correct way to get me to get my firearm, because I do own a business, as you say, and I do travel to the bank with tens of thousands of dollars sometimes. So did you not do your job correctly the first time? That's why we're here. I just would like to know the truth.
I don't know that I can evaluate the job I did. I followed a court order at the time.
There was no court order at the time, though. I had been partnered for over a year. So.
I can, you know.
That's all. I just wonder if you did your job correctly.
No, I understand. I appreciate the question.
I appreciate an answer.
All right. Does the board have any questions of the chief? Captain.
Captain, and so at the time of the initial application, you said there was a court order. Was it a protective order? Was it a Nix hit?
It was something I've not seen before, a state prohibitor or court-ordered firearm restriction.
Was that on, like, his collect message?
It was. When it was run through collect, that's what popped.
So was it a Nix hit?
I can present you with the document.
I'm just curious.
I'm not sure.
Board, have any questions?
I think the appellant had it.
Call your witness.
I just one more thing. I'll tell the board that he keeps using the word threatening. And that's not, I don't have anything threatening connected to my name, so I just wanted to use the word threatening to be miles from whatever statements they're going to make, because I don't have anything threatening. It keeps saying threatening and breach of peace. Like, I did get arrested for a breach of peace, but I didn't get arrested for threatening. I didn't get arrested for assault, nothing. So the word threatening, putting that in your head, I don't like that. It's not right. That's a lie. So.
Okay. I'd like to call Officer Grenier.
Mark, sir.
So on June 2nd, I responded to a call.
Identify yourself.
Oh, sorry, Officer Grenier with the Manchester Police Department.
All right.
On June 2nd, I responded to a call.
What year?
2024.
Okay.
Responded to a call of a victim allegedly he was bleeding. When I responded, it appeared his nose was broken, had bruises and bumps on his head. He reported that the appellant did assault him and hit him due to an argument that happened in a duplex that the appellant resided in at the time. The appellant's relative was the fiance of the victim. With that, there was an argument between the fiance and the victim. The victim did flip a table during that argument. He then said the appellant came over and struck him one time in the head. After that, the victim then left the scene, going back to his mother's house, as he called 911. When we arrived on scene and got the story, we asked the victim if he would like to press charges and give a sworn statement, and the victim's mother advised that he would not want to because of fear of repercussions due to the appellant being affiliated with the Hells Angels. The victim then was transported to Manchester Memorial Hospital and did not want to give a statement or press charges at the time.
You can cross-examine this witness.
I have nothing to say. It's a lie.
Okay. Does the board have any questions?
What allegedly was he? Was he struck? Did he use his fist? Did he use
Fist, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you interview the appellant at that time?
After the victim was transported, myself and three other officers arrived where the fiance was and where the appellant resided. We did make contact with the fiance. As she was talking to us, the other side, two other officers were talking with the appellant. The appellant made comments of if he was under arrest, he doesn't speak with officers unless he has his lawyer present and shut the door. As we were making contact with the fiance, the appellant made his way over to the other side and pulled the fiance back in the house and shut the door.
Okay, thank you.
Can I still cross-examine him?
You should have done that before.
Yeah,
no. Go ahead.
No. Well, no, I didn't just shut the door. I said, am I being detained or am I free to go? And you, officer, said I was free to go. So I went in and shut my door. Then I saw you guys trying to talk to my sister, and she said the same thing, shut the door. There's nothing illegal with that. As far as the incident, I don't know what the hell he's saying. All I know is he was at the house. He left. I don't know what he did when he left. But then he called you from a different location. So for him to say that I did anything is just, once again, another lie. Why I didn't get her? Oh, sorry.
You can testify later. That's testifying. You're right. Supposed to cross it. So you have a question. Right. What he just.
But when you met the assault, the victim that said he got assaulted, was it at my address or was it at his mom's address?
It was at 15 Spring Street.
No. When you met the guy that claims he got hit.
He was at his address, but the 911 call came in to our dispatch. He was leaving 15 Spring Street and stated he was going back to his mom's.
Right.
Address.
So when you guys saw him, it wasn't until he got to his mom's house, right? So there's no question what could have happened between that time, leaving the house to his mom's house, correct? Just saying, right? Anything could have happened. He could have done it to himself. Figuratively speaking, he could have, right?
Could have. Right. The call came in when he was 15.
And why did he leave?
After you struck him.
I didn't strike anybody. After I allegedly struck him, I didn't strike anybody. Why did he leave? Then call 911 from there. Why would he go to his mom's? Just nothing makes sense. Go ahead, man.
Based on those questions, does the board have any questions? Okay. You call your next witness.
I'd like to call Officer Wells from the Vernon Police Department. Good
morning. If you don't mind, I'm probably going to reference my report a few times.
Just say your name.
Yes, Officer Wells, Vernon Police Department.
Okay. To with an E or not?
W-E-L-L-S, one E.
Thank you.
Okay, proceed.
On July 8th, 2024, I was on patrol about 7:22 p.m. I was dispatched to the softball fields behind 375 Hartford Turnpike in Vernon. It's kind of our public works facility, but there's a series of softball fields behind there where people regularly gather to play softball. The call came in for a Hispanic male who threatened to kill another person. and the suspect left in a black BMW with Connecticut marker plate Bravo BN, Bravo North, 22634, and the registration to that BMW came back to the Grateful Head Shop in Manchester. Myself and two other officers responded to assist. When I arrived on scene, I noticed that there were active softball games going on. There's a large parking lot. There's, I want to say, one or two fields. And there's a playscape right near one of the softball fields. There was an active softball game going on. The playscape was filled with children. And the playscape was about 50 feet or so away from the softball field. There were other teams in the parking lot waiting to play their game. I guess there's subsequent games. So I estimated there was about 100 to 150 people in the area around the time. I investigated around the time of the around the game. I began interviewing multiple people. I was informed that a Hispanic or white male with a beard and tattoos on his arms and legs was making threats towards a player or player on one of the teams. The male suspect loudly proclaimed that he was going to kill one of the player or players and their cousin. And many of the bystanders were very nervous about his words and his actions. The witness, you know, they provided me a very specific description. Was wearing shorts, hat, was wearing a softball jersey with the word Bears written on it. They thought he was a player in one of the games, but other individuals there told me he was not playing at that time. And I don't know if he had been scheduled to play, but as far as I knew, he had no reason to be there at that time. His threats, I was told his threats were so loud and his actions were so aggressive that people in the parking lot heard his words and they started turning to watch him. One of the individuals at the softball game asked him to leave multiple times, but he refused. After the threats, he walked back to his BMW with the previously mentioned marker plate. He was yelling, threatening other people, and on the way, he even called a woman a fat bitch. He drove away in the BMW, but then returned. He exited the vehicle and was no longer wearing a t-shirt. He was making threats towards individuals again, yelling across the parking lot towards where the players were playing softball game. Eventually, he left in the BMW. They all said that multiple witnesses stated that his actions were uncalled for due to the fact there were numerous children in the area. I was told on scene that the male's name was Ryan Pirro, also known as P. I was told the altercation was about a prior personal issue with Pirro, and...
Oh, sir. Please don't use the name.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the nickname. That wasn't the exact name, so they... So it was similar. I'm sorry about that. So I was told that the individual he had threatened had been previously threatened during another softball game. While an individual standing with the rest of their team, allegedly this male came up, walked right up to him with everyone around, threatened to kill him, threatened to kill one of his family members. I was told that the individual that was threatened was unwilling to provide a written statement or press charges at the time. And I was told the suspect was related to a smoke shop in Manchester. I was previously aware of the appellant's name, and I knew he was an active member of the Hartford chapter of the Hells Angels Outlaw Motorcycle Gang, and I was aware that he had a violent history. Multiple witnesses on scene that were speaking with me, they were aware of his connections and his reputation, and they were extremely hesitant to cooperate. One of the witnesses, while I was interviewing him, he actually had shown me a picture of the individual that was making the threats. And he was receiving text messages at the time from a family member saying, do not cooperate with the police, do not talk to the police, there could be retribution. We're pretty much essentially saying, you know, they were scared of this person, do not cooperate with the police. So I began asking individuals, you know, no one wanted to press charges against them. Another witness, that witness that was receiving the text messages from his family member, stated his actions were very threatening, aggressive, intimidating. He took several photos and videos of him on his phone that was shown to me. It was a very specific description. I was able to obtain the videos, and then I started doing my investigation. I sent the photos to other officers that were aware of the appellant. And they confirmed through those photos that they positively identified him. The Grateful Head Shop, I did internet research on the Grateful Head Shop, and it was shown that it was registered to the appellant. I saw social media posts that matched identical to the picture that was shown to me by the witness that had taken the photo. And based on the other officers identifying, identifying the photo as the appellant, I later obtained surveillance footage of the softball game, went through that extensively, and it essentially corroborated everything the witnesses were telling me at the time. The surveillance footage showed, like I said, numerous children playing on the playscape. You can see the appellant come into the scene, go directly, just walk right up to one of the benches of the teams. He's making kind of, you can tell he's yelling, you can tell he's in a heightened state, appears to be angry, returns to his car, takes his shirt off, comes back, he's on the phone. Essentially, the video corroborated everything, and you can even see him have an interaction with a female in the parking lot who appeared to tell him, like, hey, you know, there's kids around here, keep it down. I was able to confirm that the BMW was seen on a traffic camera, pretty much traveling from Vernon to Manchester around the time, and it matched kind of the time frame from Google Maps. So based on that, I prepared an arrest warrant for the appellant. I attempted to contact him, but I did not receive a call back. I even attempted to call the witnesses and the individuals that I had interviewed, and they refused to call me back. So because I was not getting cooperation from anybody, I decided to apply for an arrest warrant. An arrest warrant was approved and later served on the appellant.
So you know the procedure now.
Yeah. How long you been an officer for? How long you been an officer for?
I think the captain had something.
Could I ask questions first?
Sure.
No. Yeah. Okay. Officer Wells, you indicated in your arrest warrant that you knew the appellant was an active member of the Hartford chapter of the Hells Angels and has a violent history. How did you know that?
Through previous work, I was previously assigned to the East Central Narcotics Task Force, which is a kind of a task force that helps not only investigate narcotics but other serious crimes. It's made up of four towns: Manchester, Vernon, Glastonbury, South Windsor. I worked with other agencies around the state, FBI, DEA, ATF, other towns, various police departments. While working with them, we obtain intelligence. We hear reports of other investigations. So I was aware of the appellant's history through those kind of law enforcement information means.
Thank you. Nothing further.
How long you been an officer for?
Been a total of almost 18 years.
18 years. So 18 years you show up to an incident, 150 people you said, and you can get one statement or one witness cooperation. So I'm going to show up at a softball game, which I had a game to show up at, just so you know. But out of 150 people, you can get one statement. I find that hard to believe, an 18-year officer. And the way you're trained, that kind of long as a police officer, that 150 people, you couldn't get one statement or witness. I'm just wondering if anything else you're saying is the truth there, or
so
if you're lying under perjury here also.
Can I respond? Yes. So I attempted to get statements from multiple people because they were afraid of your history, your tendencies, your connections. They refused to provide statements to me. They were able to speak with me, although extremely reluctantly. My 18 years of service, my 18 years of training has allowed me to speak with people and sometimes obtain information that they don't want to give. So using my training, my experience, I was able to get information that they were probably extremely reluctant to provide. However, I can't force someone to give me a statement that they don't want to. I can't hold them down and take that. That would be illegal, okay? So I did my due diligence in investigating this matter thoroughly and obtaining as much evidence as was practical at the time.
Right. Because, so we can say the picture you're painting here to the board is more than it was. Do you know what I got charged with? What was the charge I got charged with?
Breach of peace.
Breach of peace, right?
Two. Breach of peace, second degree.
Okay. I got nothing.
Board have any questions? Guess not. Okay. Do you have another
witness? I have no further witnesses.
No further witnesses. Okay. Now it's your turn to tell us what you want us to know while we've been making this.
Hey, listen, when I was younger, I caught some felonies. I had history with police, history of getting arrested. I had not the best upbringing. I had a single parent that raised me, wasn't always around. So I kind of had a lot of freedom to make a lot of bad choices. But throughout the years, I've given back 20 plus years. I've opened up 3 successful businesses, a successful restaurant. I got a pardon. I don't have a record. I'm not trying to, apply for a gun to be cool or do anything violent or anything. I'm just want to have, a firearm with me when I go to the bank. I carry a lot of money. When I'm moving, down to Manchester, it's not the safest best town around anymore. And just in my one area, the store next door got held up, gunpoint. Police couldn't find anybody on that. And the rest of the neighborhood has been robberies and break-ins and things like that. And at one time, yeah, I wasn't thinking correctly, but I used the other half of my life to change my my character, as I should say. And that's really all. I went from one point in life to a better point in life, and I'm a tax-paying citizen, and no criminal record, And contrary to what the officers want to say, it's not illegal to be in Hell's Angel Motorcycle Club. I'm in a motorcycle club. People can think what they want, but if you don't have anything violent on me, I'm here saying my innocence. So that's all.
Do you have any questions for the
witness? I do not.
Board have any questions? Okay, well, you're entitled to make a brief closing statement if you'd like.
Good. Appreciate your time.
Sure, brief. I certainly respect the appellant's right to bear arms as any citizen of the state of Connecticut, and I certainly respect his right to be in any club that he deems that he wants to become a member of. I am tasked with making the determination based on what I believe is the character and the temperament as defined by the statute for the suitability of the appellant. And I do not feel like I'd be doing my job if I said that his character and temperament was suitable for a person to possess a pistol permit.
Comments by the board?
Historically, we have given pistol permits to 1% gang members. So it's always a gang member and what? But today,
I'm not in a gang. I'm in a motorcycle. I'm not in a gang. That's gang. That's illegal. I'm in a motorcycle.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So it's 1% motorcycle club.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So it's and what? And today you came off argumentative and hostile. Temperament that I don't feel is behooving of a pistol permit at this time.
Any other comments by the board?
I think there's a note in the file that's exchanged between the SLFU leadership team for saying, hey, we denied someone without a record, right? And then the officers show up in this breach of peace case. I'm not sure if breach of peace second is a disqualifier, but it's hard to judge what's on paper and then what's being presented. So that'll inform my decision.
Any other comments? Okay, we'll proceed to a vote then. Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority this time.
Colonel Overturk.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray is abstaining, and I will.
No,
he's not.
No, he didn't.
They didn't abstain. Object to it.
Oh, they didn't object to it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You
I can't abstain, so I'll abstain.
Okay, and Dr. Conrad is not here, and I chair votes issuing authority. Okay, so it is, that's 5 issuing authority.